Welcome to Listen To. This is Ted. The news was published on Thursday, October 10th. Today we're joined by Eric and Kate to discuss a sensitive topic, the impact of opening up a monogamous relationship. Let's start with the basics. Eric, what are the key details from this situation?
Well, Ted, it's quite a doozy. We've got a couple married for a decade, and the husband drops a bombshell. He wants to sleep with someone else, claims it's purely sexual, mind you. The wife's not thrilled, but gives in, and boy, does it backfire. She ends up in a mental health tailspin. It's like opening Pandora's box, but instead of hope at the bottom, there's just a whole lot of therapy bills.
Hold your horses, Eric. You're painting this with way too broad a brush. This wasn't just about sex. The relationship was already on shaky ground. They'd moved overseas.
Kate, I was getting to that. The move, the unequal housework, the husband checking out emotionally. It's all part of the picture, but let's not forget the wife.
Agree is a stretch, Eric. This was coercion, plain and simple. He badgered her until she gave in. That's not consent, that's...
Let's take a step back for a moment. Eric, could you clarify what we mean by ethical non-monogamy in this context?
Sure thing, Ted. Ethical non-monogamy is like having your cake and eating it too, but with everyone's blessing. It's when partners agree to have relationships or sexual encounters outside their primary partnership. The key word here is ethical. Everyone's in the loop. Everyone's on board. It's not sneaking around behind your partner's back. It's more like saying, hey, I fancy a slice of that cake over there. You cool with that?
Oh, come on. There's nothing ethical about what happened here. This guy basically steamrolled his wife into agreeing when she was
already
feeling...
Now hold on, Kate. The wife herself said she had no problem with ethical non-monogamy in theory. She even did her homework. Read books, blogs, listen to podcasts. She wasn't going in.
Reading about skydiving doesn't mean you're ready to jump out of a plane, Eric. Her mental health crisis proves she wasn't prepared for this. It's like forcing someone with a fear of heights onto a roller coaster and then being surprised.
The article mentions coerced consent. Eric, how would you define this term?
Coerced consent is like when your buddy talks you into karaoke after a few too many beers. You say yes, but you're not really in a state to make that decision. In relationship terms, it's when someone agrees to something under pressure or duress rather than of their own free will. It's the difference between enthusiastically grabbing the mic and being shoved onto the stage.
Exactly. This husband's persistent pushing despite her initial refusal is a textbook example of coercion. He kept at it until she caved, like a kid whining for candy in the checkout
line. Come on, Kate. She's an adult, not a child. Adults make tough decisions in relationships all the time. She had the agency to say no. It's not like he held a gun to her.
That's such an oversimplification, Eric. Relationships have power dynamics. There's emotional manipulation at play. It's not as simple as just saying no when you're feeling isolated, vulnerable, and your partner...
Let's look at a similar historical event. Eric, can you draw a parallel to another public case of relationship dynamics changing?
Sure thing, Ted. This situation reminds me of Will and Jada Pinkett Smith's very public journey with non-monogamy. They went from a traditional marriage to what they call an entanglement. It was all over the news a few years back. They openly discussed transitioning from monogamy to a more fluid arrangement. It was like watching a Hollywood remake of Open Marriage 101.
Oh, please, Eric, that's a completely different kettle of fish. The Smiths mutually agreed to change their relationship. They weren't coerced into it like the poor woman in our story. It's like comparing
apples
and... But
Kate, it still highlights how even long-term marriages with kids can evolve. The Smiths showed that established couples can successfully navigate new relationship models.
Successfully? Are you kidding me? Their relationship has been under a microscope, picked apart by every tabloid and Twitter user. It's been a PR nightmare. How is that?
Why do you think this historical example is relevant to our discussion?
Well, Ted, it shows that non-traditional relationship structures can work. Even for couples who've been together for ages and have kids, it's like upgrading your old flip phone to a smartphone. Scary at first, but potentially opens up a whole new world. The Smith's case proves that marriage isn't one size fits all. Some couples find that mixing things up keeps the spark alive.
It's also a cautionary tale, Eric. It shows the potential fallout of opening a marriage, especially when the whole world is watching. The Smiths have faced intense scrutiny and criticism.
I'll give you that, Kate. The key difference is communication and mutual agreement, which seems to have been lacking in our article's case. The Smiths, for all their drama.
Exactly my point. The wife in our story was coerced, not an equal participant. It's like comparing a consensual boxing match to being sucker punched in an alley. They're not the...
How do you think societal views on non-monogamy have changed since the Smiths' revelation?
There's definitely been a shift, Ted. It's like we've collectively loosened our tie a bit when it comes to relationships, polyamory, open relationships. They're becoming more mainstream. You see it in TV shows, movies, even dating apps now have options for non-monogamous folks. It's not just whispered about in dark corners anymore. People are more open to the idea that love and commitment can come in different packages.
But that doesn't mean it's right for everyone, Eric. The stigma is still very real, and the emotional toll can be huge. Just look at the woman in our story. She had a full-blown mental health crisis.
Looking ahead, how do you think this situation might unfold? Eric, what's your perspective?
Well, Ted, I'm cautiously optimistic. They've been through the ringer with couples therapy, and they're still together. That's got to count for something. It's like they've weathered a Category 5 hurricane, and their house is still standing. Wobbly, sure, but standing. The husband ended the outside relationship, showing he's committed to making the marriage work. With time and more therapy, they might just rebuild their connection. It's not going to be easy, but hey, diamonds are made under pressure, right?
Optimistic? Are you living in La La Land, Eric? This woman is still having intrusive thoughts during sex and is drowning in resentment. The trust is shattered. It's like,
come on, Kate. Relationships can bounce back from infidelity. It happens all the time. With the right tools and commitment, couples can rebuild. It's like renovating a house. It takes time, effort.
This goes way beyond a simple case of cheating, Eric. The husband showed zero empathy for her mental health crisis. He's blaming her for his actions. Those are giant red flags, not just.
What about the children? How might this situation impact them moving forward?
Kids are incredibly resilient, Ted. If the parents can keep things civil and co-parent effectively, the kids can, you know, come out of this just fine. It's like when a tree bends in the wind, it might look precarious, but it's actually getting stronger. As long as the parents prioritize the kids' well-being and maintain a stable environment, children can thrive despite marital issues. It's not ideal, sure, but it's not the end of the world either.
That's incredibly naive, Eric. Kids are like sponges. They soak up every bit of tension and unhappiness around them. Growing up with a resentful, traumatized mother and an emotionally unavailable father is going to...
Divorce can be equally traumatic for children, Kate. Staying together and working through issues can provide stability. It's like choosing between two imperfect options, sometimes keeping the family unit intact.
Not if it means living in a toxic environment, Eric. An amicable divorce might be healthier than a miserable marriage. It's like choosing between a quick, clean break or a slow, painful...
Final question. What advice would you give to couples considering opening their relationship?
Communication is key, Ted. It's like building a house. You need a solid foundation, open and honest dialogue, clear boundaries, and making sure both partners are genuinely on board are crucial. Take it slow, like dipping your toes in the water before diving in. Be prepared to reassess if issues arise. It's not for everyone, but if both partners are enthusiastic and committed to making it work, it can be a positive experience.
My advice? Don't do it unless you're both 100% enthusiastic. And never ever pressure a reluctant partner. That's a recipe for disaster. It's like jumping out of a plane. If you're not absolutely sure about...
Thank you both for this lively discussion. It's clear that opening a relationship is a complex issue with no easy answers. As we've seen, communication, consent, and mutual respect are crucial in any relationship, traditional or otherwise. Whatever path couples choose, it's important to prioritize emotional well-being and honest dialogue. That's all for today on Listen 2. This is Ted, signing off.